So grateful for Quintessence for playing today again, both here for us in the services and then also later in the concert. And earlier this week, we gathered to rehearse the story at Janet's house. For those of you who haven't been, her house is particularly warm and welcoming and cozy and colorful and creative, and it was a joy to be again in her space for the rehearsal. 5 music stands were set up just like that, a little semicircle with an empty spot for me at another chair in front of it. I loved being there, especially once they started playing. I play the cello and used to play quite actively in orchestras and also in a quartet. And listening to them launch in, listening to the sounds, each singular sound moving and dancing and rising and falling and bouncing off one another, it was glorious. There's nothing quite like a small group of musicians in tight synchronicity. It's a particular kind of connection, a sweet oneness, which is also simultaneously utterly distinct and separate. It's a precious, beautiful thing, and it reminded me of some of my most precious memories of past musical experiences. And as I was being transported, somebody messed up. Which was great, because it was a rehearsal. Everybody stopped, and it made it even more amazing. Of course, I remembered. Because that kind of synchronicity, that kind of connection, that kind of oneness, that all takes time. It takes practice and diligence. It takes intention. It takes mistakes and corrections. And it was even more fitting, after all, because of the story itself. It's about the long haul, the patient work of gardening. Toad thinks, like I think many of us do, that once he puts the seeds in the ground, immediately the plants will just start to grow. But obviously this takes some time. Probably everything which is good and enduring, so much that is life-giving and life-saving, takes time. And this month, as we start this new worship theme of sanctuary, this too takes time. Sanctuary, the sense of connection and sacredness, your connection to this place and her people, your safe harbor in a stormy moment. The creation of sanctuary takes time, and it is worth it. This is the 7 of Pentacles by Marge Piercy. She writes, under a sky the color of pea soup, she's looking at her work growing away there, actively, thickly, like grapevines or pole beans, as things grow in the real world slowly enough. If you tend to them properly, if you mulch, if you water, if the sun shines and you pick off caterpillars and the praying mantis comes and the ladybugs and the bees and the plants flourish, but at their own internal clock, connections are made slowly. Sometimes they grow underground. You cannot always tell by looking what's happening. More than half of the tree is spread out under the soil, under your feet. Weave real connections. Create real nodes. Build real houses. Live a life you can endure. Keep tangling and interweaving. Keep taking in. Live as if you liked yourself, and it may happen. Reach out. Keep reaching out. Keep bringing in, for every gardener knows that after the digging, after the planting, after the long season of tending and growth, the harvest comes. Our family is blessed with a beautiful set of gardens in our home in Dover. When we first moved in, it had lots of potential. Impeccable light and good enough soil to build upon, and a few superstar plants. A beautiful riot of a late blooming lilac, delicious and unruly black raspberries, and a long stand of brown-eyed Susans along the back edge of our yard. And slowly over these many years, one chunk at a time, we've added to this bounty we received. 2 raised beds for vegetables, a cascading flow of perennials, phlox and echinacea and bee balm and Shasta daisies and peonies and poppies and zinnia and sweet pea planted every year. So many flowers. At some point this last year, in the fullness of summer, I looked out upon it all from our deck. And in a quiet, calm moment, I saw this mix of time, of so many years of work together, Lauren and I, and a little bit the kids, but really Lauren and I, irises from Lauren Katz, a longtime member here, a gift in our first year here, irises which were from her mother-in-law's garden, having been cultivated now for years and years. Gardeners know about this slow work of connection, about patience, about the long arc. One of my favorite little stretches of garden is nestled between our yard and our neighbors. When Lauren first came to look at the house many, many years ago, she loved it. And just like we thought, it seemed like a perfect fit for us. But there was this one tiny snag. As she arrived to look at the house, she noticed the neighbor peering out of her front door. Lauren thought perhaps she was getting a little bit of the stink eye. But we chose not to judge. We like to think that we are pretty solid neighbors. Children shenanigans aside, we are butter lenders and walkway shovelers. So I had faith that we could melt even the most recalcitrant heart. And so we moved in. We planned on warmly introducing ourselves, but as we unpacked our gargantuan moving truck, she and her husband came over. His memory was fading, as was his body. He was hunched all the way over with scoliosis. With a wide smile, he offered to help us unpack the largest, heaviest boxes. His wife gently reminded him of his back. She followed behind him, sweetly corralling him. They welcomed us. They returned to their home. We went back to our work, and it was the beginning of one of the most beautiful neighbor loves I have ever known. I would often come home to find her sitting outside her house in the driveway on hot days, and we would chat about her many grandkids and kids, about the horrible neighbors who had owned our house 2 owners before, owners so bad she looked upon Lauren that first day with the fearful memory of those hard years, thus the stink eye. Her husband died just weeks after we moved in. We brought her flowers and food. We met her kids and their kids. And slowly, as love does, slowly something beautiful and enduring was woven between us. She was a quilter, and she quilted blankets for the boys, and then for Aaliyah, and one for all of us. Beautiful, wildly generous gifts. She made relish every year, which was delicious just to me, but delicious. She canned green beans too, which usually, I gotta say, I would not love. But somehow, for some reason, because of my love for her and the love that I knew that she put into them, I loved eating them every year. We brought her flowers and vegetables fresh from our gardens. She got the very first asparagus every year, which those of you who grow asparagus know that's kind of a big deal. We shoveled her walkway on snow days. We talked. Eventually, we knew her health was fading. Saw ambulances come and go without her. Her children had our numbers if they needed us to head over, but they were always there, so dedicated. And in the last days, she and I talked about her dying. She said she was ready, ready for God to take her. She was a 3-mass-a-week Catholic, and I think she appreciated that Lauren and I were clergy, albeit from a very different team, still essentially the same sport. When I stopped seeing her outside and started seeing more and more of her kids' cars, I went over to sit with her. She was lying back in a recliner. She was looking so tired. This woman who had been so full of energy right up to the end, chipping ice out in her driveway after her kids said she could no longer shovel. She told me, lying there again, that she was ready. And I told her that I loved her, that we all loved her, that she was the best neighbor ever. And I hugged her, and I let her be. And she died days later. At her memorial service, she had the very best thing I have ever seen. Instead of a fancy vessel, instead of something carved out of stone, she had told her kids to put her ashes in mason jars she had in the basement for canning. She had quilted little cozies, colorful coverings for the jars for anyone who wanted to take some of her home. And I mentioned it because these kinds of loves, these kinds of connections, this all takes time. They're built slowly. This place, this sanctuary, this community is built slowly. Your connection here, the relationships with which hold you, this all takes time, but it makes all the difference. We face these days together. We've been moving through a hard time as a nation, and these last 2 weeks have been especially hard. Lauren and I have talked to so many of you who are triggered, whose hearts are broken, who are dismayed, and it especially, at times like this, I am especially grateful for this place, for this mission that we share, for this beacon we are building, stoked by the fires of this love. Especially when we feel like the task before us is too large, that the deck is stacked, that the system is rigged, we rise. Ready or not, we rise. And this is our path, this rising, this connecting. Gwendolyn Brooks, the poet, says it well. She writes, "Even if you are not ready for day, it cannot always be night. Live not for battles won. Live not for the end of the song, live in the along. Even if you are not ready for day, it cannot always be night." It's almost enough to know that this current state of being is intolerable, that this current state of reactivity and violence, this race and this pace of living, it must be otherwise. This night will end. This pain will end. And the second half of what she says is, I think, the trick. This is where community is made. This is where peace is found. This is where joy and love abound, in the along. She says, live not for battles won. Live not for the end of the song. Live in the along. We hope for justice. We long for transformation and change. We keep our eyes on the prize, and we move with great strides, but our lives are lived in the along. Our lives are what happen on the way to those sweet destinations, and our peace and our happiness and our truth is there, is here, right here, in these moments in which we are, and they are sweet. Here in this along, there is joy, there is hope, there is connection. Here in this along, you are held in loving community. You are cherished. You are brave. Here in this along, all is possible. And this is our work, to remember these fundamental truths and to live them even more fully every day. Amen.